Is this, am I going to have trouble with y'all today? Are you going to pick up the energy a little bit? Glad that you're here. Are you ready for some VBS? We got our moon rover. We got rockets. We got planets hanging. I mean, this is first class operation here, man. Glad that you're here. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Shall we do that? All right. Pray with me. Father, we do welcome you. We pray that our worship would please you, that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. God, would you impact us today? We pray for the children that will come tonight and this week, and for the servants who will serve them and bless them. God, would you keep them safe, and would you plant seeds of your goodness and your love in their hearts? Father, come, Holy Spirit, to this place, to this worship. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to welcome our live stream audience and worshiping at home as well. If you will rise, if you are able, as we worship together.
I got a story. Nobody loves us like Jesus, who's perfect in his grace, his patience with us. And so I'm so thankful for the grace of God. And this morning as we come to worship, we understand that we can't even worship in our own strength, in our own ability. And so one of the most important things we learn to do in our life is pray for God to change our heart, to desire Him more, to grow closer to Him, to help us to be transformed. And so we ask God to bring us spiritual growth. You see, that spiritual growth, it doesn't come from ourselves, but it's the desire of our heart, and it's the asking God to lead us closer to Him. So this morning, as we come into this place together, we lift our eyes to God, and we look on Him and His goodness and His love for us and His perfect grace. And I pray that as we enter into worship, that you pray with all of your heart for God to lead you closer to Him this morning by the power of His Holy Spirit. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I wonder if it's so painless, like filled with sin. Savior Jesus Christ, He's the light of the world. A round of applause this morning. All right, children, y'all come on forward for your children's message, and the rest of you may be seated.
How are y'all? Billy's bringing my chair. Thanks. Hey, guys. It's good to see everybody this morning. Are y'all excited to be here?
Yes.
Shelly. Here. Sorry, I had my phone in my back pocket, so I'm going to pass it off to Miss Shelly. Would you go give it to Billy? Thank you. It's good to see everybody this morning. Are y'all excited to be here?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So, when you look around the room, what do you see?
A dog.
Okay, you see a dog.
You see
a rocket ship? You see the cross? What else do you see? Do you see a moon rover? Yes? You see decorations for Stellar VBS. Yeah. So we've got rockets. We've got the moon rover. We've got this. You see stars? Okay. Stars and rocks and all the fun stuff, right? And you see the big earth right up there, right? Yeah. So we are ready to blast off with Stellar VBS today. Are y'all excited? Yay! So while we're at Stellar VBS, we're going to learn to shine Jesus' light. So I'm going to talk about that this morning, shining Jesus' light, okay? So, it's kind of like a flashlight. You are absolutely right. So here's my question. First question I have for you. I've got a couple of questions for you, okay? If you could go to any planet, where would you want to go?
Earth.
Earth? Okay, very good. Okay.
Saturn.
Jupiter. Neptune. Uranus. Okay.
Mars.
Okay, okay. Do y'all want to go to the sun?
I want to go to
No. It's kind of hot there, isn't it? Okay.
You'd be dead in 5 seconds.
You want to go to the moon. That's right. So, I did bring a picture of the moon because I wanted to talk about the moon. You think the moon is freezing at night? Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the moon. You know, can we go to planets?
Yes.
You think?
In a rocket ship?
In a rocket ship, yeah. So, but we're not astronauts, right?
No.
But I want to tell you, in 1969, I had the wrong year first service. In 1969, a man named Neil Armstrong went to the moon. And he landed on the moon in his spaceship. And he stepped out on the moon. And when he stepped out on the moon's surface, do you know what he left on the moon's surface?
Flag.
A flag of America.
A flag of America. And what else? Well, who said it?
A footprint.
That was in 1969. Did you know that that footprint and flag are still there? Because there is no wind on the moon at all. So it is still there. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That somebody actually went to the moon and got out and walked around. And I think there's been other.
But it does circle around us.
It does circle around us. That's right. So I want to talk about the moon. So when do we see the moon?
At night.
At night. That's right. It comes out and there's moonlight and then there's stars. So right? And we can see at night, right? A little bit? Yeah.
The moon's
not there. It kind of changes. We have the full moon and we got a half moon. And
that's right.
That's right. So the moonlight, it lights up the night sky. But did you know that the moon does not shine at all?
Wait, what?
The moon doesn't shine. Oh, man. Wow. Okay, I'm going to tell you how the moon shines, okay? It's in God placed the moon in just the right spot, in the right place, at the right time for the sun to shine on the moon and reflect. So the moon reflects the sunlight. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Yeah. And so the moon reflects the sun. So the sun gives off the light, and the moon reflects it. Isn't that amazing?
So they both have a job.
They both have a job. You are right. They both have a job. And God had a plan. He put it in the right place at the right time in the perfect thing so they would line up and then that sun could reflect off that moon. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God incredible?
Yes.
So, okay, I lost my place here. So, we are kind of like the moon.
Wait, what?
We're kind of like the moon. You haven't thought about that? Just as the sun reflects onto the moon, we need somebody to reflect in our life. So who reflects in us?
God and Jesus.
And the Lord. That's right. So in order for Jesus and God to reflect in us, we need to be in the right place in the right time, right? Are you in the right place in the right time today?
Yes.
Are you in the right place in the right time at your house?
Yes.
Yes. Is Jesus with you?
Yes.
Yes.
He never leaves you.
And so when we follow Jesus and we do everything that he tells us to do, he shines in our life and we reflect that life and that light into others by being kind and listening and obeying and sharing God's love with others. But guess what?
we can't shine without Jesus.
No way.
No, we need Jesus to shine. Jesus and God, we need them. We need Jesus and God in our lives so that we can shine for him and be in the right place at the right time and stay close to him and follow him. So do you want to shine for Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. So what do we need to do? We need to follow Jesus. We need to be in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
We need to read our Bible.
Yes.
We need to pray.
Yes.
We need to listen to teachers. And we need to tell others about Jesus, right? So that we can reflect God's light and shine for him, right? So during VBS, we're going to be learning about shining that light, shining Jesus' light. So what I want you to do, and as you can see, I've got my shirt on right here. It says, shine Jesus' light. Y'all say that with me, and when you say it, I want you to take your hands, and I want you to do this, okay? Can you make stars shine? Okay, y'all ready? Okay.
Shine Jesus' light.
Can y'all say it a little bit louder? Shine Jesus' light. Can y'all join us today? Shine Jesus' light. All right, very good. And it says in Philippians 2:15, then you will shine among the stars in the heaven as you hold firmly to the word of God. So let's hold firmly to God so that we can shine for him. Okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you, your love fills us and that we can shine for you and be a light for you as we go about our activities at church and at home and at school and at the grocery store, wherever we are at, that we can be a light for you, Lord. Help us to learn to grow and to know you and walk faithfully with you, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go.
Are we on? Thank you, Arliss. Good morning. Vacation Bible School is here. We're going to have a good time this week. And I want to encourage you to pray into that in your personal prayer time, that the Lord will move in power, that seeds will be planted deep, that someone will come by and water those seeds, God causing the growth. Pray for incredible fruit to be produced out of this Vacation Bible School. If you would like to check into our service, that would be awesome. You can do that through our app. VBS does start tonight with Family Night at 5:30. And when we say Family Night, it's a church family night. Everybody's invited to that. We'll have some worship from 5:30 till about 6:05 or so, 6:10. Pizza will be provided around 6:15 in the fellowship hall. And then there'll be some games for the kids. There's going to be two. Like I said last week, world-renowned astronauts will be here. We're going to shoot off a rocket. Man, it's just going to be a really good night. So bring your safety gear and come on. We'll have a good time tonight. But that's tonight. Of course, VBS is Monday through Wednesday, tomorrow through Wednesday from 9 to noon. Our Sunday night ministry start back on the 21st, and then Sunday night community groups start back on the 25th of this month. So if you want to get connected to a group, please see me. If you're able to stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. A great creed for centuries that unites our hearts. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We have some guests with us this morning that I would like to recognize. Kathy Robertson and her husband, Dirk. Kathy is with Pregnancy Resources, gave a really strong presentation on what God's doing through that ministry and the needs of that ministry. Kathy, would you just wave at us, stand up back there so we can see you, please? Let's thank the Lord for Pregnancy Resources. Her parents are the infamous Ned Cantwell and Roberta Cantwell, and so we're blessed to have you guys with us this morning. Man, just an incredible ministry. They're changing people's lives. God's using them in a powerful way. So pray for that ministry. Also, we have a guest from our Houses for Healing House, our Brown County house. I'm going to give you a little background, and then one of them is going to come up and share a little bit. Harlan and Tammy are from Richland Springs, and Harlan found himself in the ER several weeks back. That transferred into an ICU stay, and he was in really bad shape. And somehow God just supernaturally raised him back up. And he's going to share a little bit about that. Tammy was staying in the house, the ministry house, traveling back and forth to be with Harlan as he was struggling. And Friday was a really good day for this couple. Both of them gave their heart to Jesus. Yes. Both of them were baptized. Ben, do you have that photo handy? They were baptized in this rock structure. This is across the street from our ministry house, right in front of the chapel. Three crosses on the top. Obviously, you know, Jesus is not there, right? So that's a good thing. But anyway, when they get this thing functional, water will flow down into this baptismal pool. And they filled that up yesterday with 78-degree water. It was kind of cold, right? And Friday was kind of cool. Yeah. Fill that up and baptize them right there. What a precious, precious thing that God's doing in their life. So Harlan, do you want to come up? Tammy, are you comfortable coming up? Sure you are. Sarah, would you like to come up as well? Okay. I told them they could fly under the radar, and Sarah's taking advantage of that, apparently. So Harlan, he wants to thank the church for making, you can come on up here if you want to, making provision for this family. He's really excited about the Lord. Amen. He may get a little Pentecostal on us. Are we okay with that? Can we deal with that? And I told him about 5 minutes, but we'll see how that goes, right?
I'm not making any promises.
Okay. So
I had shoulder surgery, Carl. I can't get one hand up there. Okay, so. Okay. Anyways, on the front door of that house we're staying in over there at the Houses for Healing, it said, provided by your friends at the Wiley Methodist Church. That's all of you guys I'm looking at right here. And I'll tell you what, you guys have blessed the socks plumb off of us. Tammy gave me a little video tour of that place whenever she got over there. She walked in there and said, look at this couch. She's got electric recliners on it. She goes over here and look at the refrigerator, opens the door up, and it's plumb full of food. Opens the cabinets up. They're plumb full of food. Sitting on the was it the bed or the couch where the little deal you put over your shoulders?
On the couch.
On the couch. Is a little deal that the ladies had
prayer shawl.
They had sewn that together, hand sewn that thing, and had a little scripture on it. I forgot to bring that thing. I was going to read it to you. But there's 20 or so ladies that had prayed over this thing for her. And it's laying here on the couch. And then on the table, there's a Bible. It's a Tammy Stone on the bottom of it. And she carries on, opens up the cabinets. The cabinets are plumb full of dry goods. Goes in the bathroom. The bathroom's fully furnished bathroom, washer and dryer, laundry soap, towels. I mean, just like she walked into home, you know. And it's been our home for the last 2 weeks since the 29th when they admitted me in the ICU. I came in on my deathbed. I came in and my blood pressure was, 70 over 40 or something like that. And my heart rate was spiked up and I was sepsis. I was trying to die. And it's kind of funny, but it's not. But I thought they were trying to do some kind of weird experiments on me because my eyes were fuzzy from all the medication I had. And I was trying to kick these women that were running by my hospital bed there. So they chained me down to the bed and I really couldn't go anywhere. And I've always been a fighter. I'm not going to go down without a fight, you know. So, man, I can't thank you guys enough for what y'all have done for us. It is. It's really touched my heart. I know it's touched Tammy's heart. And it's been such a blessing. We came up here. I rode the ambulance up here, of course. And my dad brought Tammy up here and dumped her out at the hospital. So we're here afoot, no money, no food, no friends. Well, I got a lot of friends now, but we didn't know anybody. And like I say, I woke up in a strange place, didn't know where I was at, and went kicking and screaming. And I'd been in a medically induced coma for 5 days. And I woke up, didn't know anybody. And that is a scary feeling, guys, gals. It's not something I would advise trying at all. But they said I was operating on 20% of my heart when we got in here. And Thursday, I guess it was, or Wednesday, they got me up. And Tammy had gone to eat something or something or another, and she said, I know he'll be setting up in that bed when I come back. And I wasn't setting up in the bed. I was setting up in the chair next to the bed.
Totally, totally different.
I told her, I saw that I'd done been running down the hall and back. But anyway, they woke me up out of that deal. And like I say, I thought I was having some weird kind of experiment done on me. And I talked to Brother Brian Massey. He's the one over the houses for healing. And he told me a story about Lazarus in the tomb. And, man, water started pouring out of my eyes. And I said, that was me, brother. I was there. I was dead for 4 days, and God brought me back for some reason. He got other plans for me, because I was laid there and I tried to figure out how I could die just to get out of that place. But you know what? I couldn't. I couldn't die. And it was like, you know, that little song, I saw the light. I think I saw the other side of the light. And it's not a place I want to go back to at all. And like Brother Billy said, we had that come to Jesus meeting there, and we got baptized in that little pool there.
That was the first one.
She was. She was. She'll always be able to say that for sure. Broke them in, but it was such a blessing, and I hate to have to go through that to get where I'm at, but some of us are a little hard-headed than others, and sometimes we try to do things our way. You know, sometimes God will let us. He'll let us try. It don't always work that way, because I finally learned that he's a whole lot more hard-headed than I am.
Amen.
But it's been a blessing, and I thank you, Billy, for letting me come up here and talk.
Amen.
It's awesome, bro.
Man, God is still in the miracle working business.
He is, absolutely. I'm living proof.
Yeah. And you know, I just thought about, you know, our house, we have, I don't know how many applications that Brian Massey gets, and so he tries to discern where to plug people in, and our house happened to be empty. And then you guys' name rose to the surface. And so I'm just thinking, you know, what if Tammy didn't have that opportunity to stay there? Would they have encountered the Lord this past Friday? I think it was God, a divine appointment for you guys to connect with us, to connect with him.
I believe we would have encountered him, but it would not have been the same encounter.
The same, right. So I asked them permission for us to pray over them.
Absolutely.
Moving forward. And, Jeff, do we have our anointing oil? Is it on the altar table? Okay.
You know, there is a scripture that says, I can't recall what the chapter and verse are, but it says, if one of you is sick, you gather the elders of the church, yeah, you anoint their head with oil, and they shall be healed.
Amen. Yeah, by his stripes, by his wounds.
By his stripes.
So I asked for permission to pray over them, and he said, can y'all anoint us when you do that? And absolutely we will. So if y'all don't mind just going and standing down here by our pastor. Sarah, do you want to join them? I'll let you argue with your mom. I'm not gonna argue with you. Yeah. And so if you want to come up as well and lay hands on this couple. Lord, we leave. We love you. And we love the way you love us. And Father, I think sometimes you just give us glimpses of your glory just to increase our faith, just to draw us close to you. And it seemed like you reveal yourself from glory to glory to glory. I thank you for these glimpses. God, I thank you for our brother and sister, our friends, Tammy and Harlan, and for Sarah. Lord, we're grateful for the work you did in Harlan's body. And Lord, we pray for total restoration for him, total and complete healing for him. And Lord, as they start this new journey as brother and sister in the Lord, I pray, God, that you give them incredible wisdom. Father, fill them with the Holy Spirit from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And Lord, I pray that for Sarah as well. Lord, touch her deeply. Lord, and you got work for them to do in Richland Springs on that ranch, and they're going to connect with people. They're going to talk to people. Lord, I just pray that they can't be quiet about what you've done for them and what you're continuing to do it for them. Thank you for bringing them into our lives for such a time as this. And Lord, just bless them good for your glory. Oh, Father, we're so grateful for your grace that Jeff's going to preach on this morning. Mercy precedes that. And I'm grateful you don't give us the things we really deserve. You give us something we don't deserve, and we're grateful for that. So, Father, bless this couple. Bless Houses for Healing Ministry. Continue to bless pregnancy resources, Lord. Use these ministries for your glory. Make provision for them as well. We love you, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You that we'll have several people available for prayer after the service if you desire prayer. Also, our giving options, we have offering boxes by the doors. You can also give electronically. The Lord is good. Amen.
Oh,
up high the name of the Lord this morning.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
All stands above.
All thrones and dominions. All powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation. Good.
God is good. Good stuff, man. Golly, I'll tell you. I feel bad sometimes people aren't here. You ever feel that way? Like, man, what a blessing. Thank you guys for sharing this morning. And thank you for sharing this morning. Good stuff. If you are a guest this morning, we really are excited you're here. We hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. And would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I would like to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer at the end of the service. As Billy, I think, mentioned earlier, we'll also have some folks down front that will pray with you this morning if you need prayer. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Beginning in verse 11. Now, this is what we have come to know as the parable of the prodigal son. It is definitely my favorite parable and one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Verse 11. Jesus has told a couple of parables leading up to this, and it says that Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him out to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, early service I repeated that. I think we need to do that again. When he came to his senses, church, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. This son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But," an important word, but the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. We invite you now to come and to speak in power and authority, and to change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in the era of Looney Tunes. Can I get an amen on the Looney Tunes? Anybody? All right. They don't have cool cartoons like Looney Tunes anymore. You know, and because it's so awful and evil, they're not showing the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote anymore because it's too violent, too violent. And I was telling early service, have they not watched the video games that some of the, I mean, you know, and the other things these kids are watching? But one of my favorite, I liked the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote and some others, but Pepe Le Pew. You remember Pepe Le Pew? Pepe Le Pew, the skunk. Go ahead and throw Pepe up there. Pepe is always getting into something. Pepe discovered this black and white cat that he mistook for a female skunk. And Pepe was after the cat. You can see there the cat did not respond too well. Like, what are you doing? Why are you all over me? Get away from me. But Pepe would not be deterred. Pepe was bound and determined to pursue his love. That's the way God is with us, church, only much more so, on a much grander scale. Starting a series today called How Sweet the Sound. How Sweet the Sound. Today's message is God's Pursuing Grace. So we're going to spend 3 weeks talking more about grace, and I want to say this, that grace is grace is grace. No matter how we break it up, God's grace is God's grace, but we can kind of break it up into these little bites where we can understand it better. But grace is basically God's unearned, unmerited favor. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it, and it's His unmerited favor. Wesley talked a lot about this word, prevenient grace, and so that's really kind of where we're going today. This God's prevenient grace, God's prevenient grace, grace that goes before, grace that precedes human action. God is just like Pepe. God is pursuing us, whether we want to be pursued or whether we know we're being pursued. God is pursuing us. It reflects this prevenient grace, grace that reflects God's heart for His creation, you and me. And it also testifies, this prevenient grace, it testifies that God is, and here it is, the initiator of relationship. I'll talk more about this in a moment, but we say things like, I've accepted Christ, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm serving, I'm reading my Bible, I'm doing, and we're putting all the emphasis on us. But in reality, God is the initiator. God is the pursuer of our heart. God, grace that pursues. So Jesus is telling, He's told this parable, but preceding this is the third of three parables that Jesus stacks in a row speaking about the lost, God's heart for the lost. He talks about the shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of the sheep got lost, and he leaves the 99, and he goes passionately searching for this lost sheep, and guess what happens when he finds a sheep? It's party time. Let's celebrate. He's excited about finding this lost sheep and restoring it to the herd, to the flock. And then the second parable is the woman in the coin, and she's lost this precious coin, and she shuts everything down, and she begins to search her house for this precious coin, and when she finds it, there it is again. It's party time. There's a celebration. So God is demonstrating through these parables that Jesus told His heart for the lost. So I want to dive right into some things I think we need to kind of unpack a little today. Number one, we are all lost and fall short. If we think that we've got our act together outside of Christ, if we think that we are like, I'm a pretty good guy, I'm a pretty good guy. I've met some folks. I'm a pretty good guy. That's contrary to Scripture, friends in Christ. Scripture tells us that we are conceived with this. We have this condition of sin from our conception. That it's not something that just when we get old enough where we can begin to make bad choices. No, it's a condition that we come from the womb with. We are lost and we fall short. Romans 3, for all, not some, not most, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? What is His standard? Righteousness. And none of us can attain that in and of ourselves. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we're justified freely, meaning that we are made right by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Romans 8, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God doesn't say, hey, go clean yourself up, make yourself presentable, come back to me, and then we'll talk. No, it says, while we were powerless, He died for the ungodly. God demonstrates His own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Church, we must understand, if God has a heart for the lost, we must understand that we are all lost. Yes? If you're still out there, shake your head. If God has a heart for the lost and we're all lost, God has a heart for you and me. Secondly, not only are we all lost and fall short of God's standard, but Jesus passionately pursues the lost. He passionately pursues the lost. I love this. Luke, Jesus, again, He's quoted in Luke 19. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So if He saves us and we're lost and He saves us, that means that we were indeed lost in need of a Savior. Jesus passionately pursues us. I was telling the early service that Peter's kind of my guy. I like Peter because Peter's a knucklehead just like me. Any other knuckleheads in the house? So, Peter, the same Peter that denied even knowing Jesus, the cool thing about Peter is he finally got it. He finally got it. It took him seeing Jesus go into the grave dead and seeing Him rise on the third day. It took that, but he got it. And here's what he says, 2 Peter 3. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I love that because some days, I was telling early service, some days, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, some days I'm just tired. Anybody just tired sometimes? It's like, Lord, come back today. Please come back today. Before noon even. Come on. And then I feel like the Lord impresses upon me, not everybody knows me. There's people you love that don't know me. I'm patiently waiting for them. I'm patiently pursuing them. Paul, the Apostle Paul, teaching his protege, Timothy, he says it this way, God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He's passionately pursuing the lost. He's patient. And I would just, I don't know, maybe God maybe doesn't say this, but maybe it's just my own voice, but sometimes I feel like when I'm praying that, God maybe just need to say, suck it up, Hatcher. Suck it up. There's still people I'm pursuing here. I don't want to be lost. Jesus is passionately pursuing the lost. I want to talk a second about just kind of a little side note, a little side theological teaching here. When I do infant baptisms, I know many of you come from traditions that observed infant baptisms, and some of you didn't. And we talk about that in my discovery class about this thing. And when I baptize an infant, I try to do a little mini teaching. But I want to talk about that for just a second. The theology of that, first of all, Scripture does not tell us you should baptize your infants. It's not a commandment for us to do that. So I want that kind of out there. But the precedence for that, the theological precedence for that and biblical precedence goes back to the Old Testament where God made covenant with Abraham, and he said, I'll be your God, and Israel will be my people, and we'll have this covenant. And he said, the sign of the covenant will be circumcision. The people were to bring their eight-day-old child, to receive the sign of the covenant, and that was symbolic. The male was the symbolic for the family, the head of the family. And so that's how they received the sign of the covenant, and then they would remain faithful to that covenant through the law, through observing the law. Flip forward to New Testament. Jesus fulfilled the law, and the sign of this new covenant is baptism. Now, when someone presents an infant child to be baptized, to receive that baptism, that is this grace that goes before, this prevenient grace before the child. You know, in the Old Testament, the eight-day-old child didn't go, hey, I think, well, let's go get circumcised today. This will be a good day for that. It's eighth day. We're supposed to do that. Why not? No, the parents presented them to receive the sign of the covenant, God's grace. In the New Testament, when an infant is baptized, it is the parents presenting that child to receive this grace that's already there. Too many times, I was telling the early service that I learned so much in the last 20 years about baptism. I actually, early on in my ministry, I struggled with, what's this whole infant baptism thing? I don't really understand it. I studied a lot, and I talked to a lot of different people. But I realized that sometimes we make the mistake with baptism. We talk about what we are doing. We forget that God is the initiator. God is the pursuer. It's like, I've repented of my sin. I've accepted Christ. I've been baptized. It's this whole idea of what we are doing and have done, these decisions that we've made. And we forget that God is the pursuer. He's the one that chose us. He's in the midst of the baptism. Harlan and Tammy, when y'all went down in that water, I promise you, God was involved in that. He was the pursuer of your heart. This prevenient grace, Jesus passionately pursuing us because he has a heart for the lost. Grace that goes before, it precedes human action. It reflects God's heart for his creation. He is the initiator of relationship, this grace that pursues, this God that pursues. Jesus said it this way, dude. You didn't know Jesus said dude, but it's in there, Greek. Dude, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And why would he do that? I mean, as he's being nailed to the cross, he's choosing you. He's choosing you because he loves you. He loves his creation. He's pursuing you. He's choosing you because he loves you. We cannot forget that. Jesus is demonstrating in these parables, God has a heart for the lost. And guess what? We're all lost. This is love, 1 John 4. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody besides me feels this way. I don't feel worthy to have been pursued by the King of Kings. But I am. You are. And here's point number three. Not only are we all lost, not only does Jesus pursue the lost, but Jesus rejoices when the lost are found. It's party time. Scripture tells us when we say yes to this God who's pursuing us, the angels in heaven are having a party. They're rejoicing. And Jesus is trying to teach us, our Heavenly Father's rejoicing. By the way, I'm fixed to say a word. I've used it in church before, but for some of y'all newer to the church, I want you to know, I've checked this out thoroughly, and it is okay for me to say the word poop in church. So this this prodigal, he's squandered. How many of us have squandered the things that God has blessed us with? Maybe before we found Christ, but he squandered this inheritance. God, you know, he said, give me my stuff now. And the father doesn't argue. He said, okay, here you go. And he squanders it. And he finds himself in need, and he comes to his senses. And guess what? He's been wallowing out there with the pigs, and you get mud and pig poop on you when you do that. I've never been a pig farmer, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. And he said he came to his senses and he returned to the father. He didn't say, hey, I went and got myself all cleaned up and made nice and pretty, and then I went to my father. No, I can just envision him walking down the road and he's covered in mud and pig poop, and the father sees him. And he doesn't scold him. He runs to embrace him. And he embraces, and he doesn't go to the front and go, woo, showers are over here. He doesn't do that. He embraces the son in the condition. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet covered in the pig poop, God loves us. Father said, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine who was dead is now alive. God celebrates, rejoices when the lost are found. How great is it, church, to be pursued by the King of Kings? That's good stuff. And I'm gonna show you a video here in just a second. I want to say this. I learned this early on in ministry, that I all of us, me as a pastor and laity and people in Christ, we can, as they're going to be teaching the children this week in Vacation Bible School, we can shine, we can reflect the light of Jesus. We can love on his behalf, and we can do all those things, but only God is a changer of hearts. He's the only one that can do that. And y'all seen either this video or probably something similar to it, is the cardboard testimonies where people on one side where they were before Christ, and then they flip it where they are now. I want you, as you watch this, I want you to think about God pursuing them, and I want you to watch their different expressions, what their face looks like and their whole demeanor when they're where they were and when they flip that card. Watch for the change in their expression. Go ahead, Ben, play that.
And he is jealous for me, almost like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, was like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, and oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, and oh, how he loves us.
Loves you, church. I hope you feel that today. I hope you've experienced that today. No matter who we are, no matter what has happened in our life, no matter what we've done, God loves you. He pursues you with a great love and a great passion. I want to invite the praise team to come back up if you'll bow with me. Father, we thank you for your prevenient grace, that grace that goes before, that grace that pursues us, and that grace that celebrates when we're found. You are so good to us. You are a good, good Father. Your grace is amazing. And we love you. Father, just if there's anyone in the room this morning that are at home that doesn't know that you have chosen them. Know that they know that you took nails for them because you loved them. If there's anyone this morning, God, would your Holy Spirit convey that deep into their heart? We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for your amazing grace. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll rise if you are able. The altar rail is open. There will be someone to pray with you after the service. don't leave this place if you don't know that Jesus that pursues you that we've been talking about. Let's have a party. Let's go and tell someone. That's good news, church. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.